Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Bava Kama Daf Mem Dalet. We are holding on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, five lines off the top of at the bottom of the Amud. V'chein b'bein oibabas, right at the two dots. So the Mishnah says whether an animal attacked an adult or a little boy or girl, v'chein b'bein v'chein b'bas, so if the animal killed his victim, the animal is now slated for skila. So Bezdin applies the skila form of death of the animal. So it's irrespective of age, whether the victim is an adult or a child. Tanur Rabbanan, because the pasuk says so. Oy bein yigach, oy bas yigach. Right? So the same thing happens whether it's an adult or a bein or a bas. We learn from here, l'chayev l'ktanim k'gdolim, we impose skila on the shor, whether he killed a katan or a gadol. Now, why do we need a pasuk for this? Asks the Gemara. We can figure it out on our own. V'leidinu, we can just make a simple comparison. Hayil v'chayev adam ba'adam. Just like when a person attacks another person, right? There is chayev misa, if he kills him. V'chayev shor ba'adam. And likewise, if a shor attacks a person, puts him to death, the shor gets skila. So let's compare the two. Ma kashachiv adam ba'adam. Just like when a person attacks another person. Lo yishna ben ktan l'gdolim. Doesn't matter whether he killed an adult or a child. Right? We impose chiv misa on the murderer. Af kashachiv shor ba'adam. Likewise, when a shor attacks a person, it shouldn't make a difference. Age should not be a factor. In addition, we have a kalvachemer to prove the same. Since when a person attacks another, and the attacker is a katan, right? The murderer is a katan. We don't treat him like an adult. We don't give him chiv misa. Rashi brings a pasuk. V'ish ki yake needs to be an ish, an adult. A katan is not liable for his actions. So, despite the fact that there is that relative leniency when it comes to people attacking each other, still, in terms of the victim's age, we don't differentiate. So if an adult kills another adult, he's chayev, or if he kills a child, he's chayev. Certainly a shoyer who attacks a person, shoyer ba'adam shoyer, here we treat a young one-day-old shoyer just like an adult shoyer. Rashi brings a gemara, a pasuk, shoyer oikesef ki voled. And we learn that even shoyer ben yoyim ha'ikaru shoyer, even a one-day shoyer is called a shoyer. So basically, even if the shoyer is just born and he attacks a person, he's just as liable as an adult shoyer who attacked. So he has that relative strictness over human beings. Certainly when it comes to his victim, it shouldn't make a difference whether he attacked a youngster or a older person. So we have two reasons why we would apply skila to the shoyer, whether he killed a gadol or a katan. One is we just compare it to people attacking each other, and the second point is a kal vachomer to prove the same. So why do we need a pasuk? Oy vein yigach, oy bas yigach, to be machayev al ktanim kedolim. Says the Gemara, no, you can find room for differentiation between the two things. Loy. Even to Adam ba Adam, perhaps Adam attacking another Adam is different, because he has a strictness not found by the shor. Shekain chayev b'avod varim. He has all those extra payments. He has a tsar, ripui, doctor bills, you know, loss of wages, and all these things only apply to one person attacking the other, as opposed to an animal who doesn't have those liabilities. Tema b'shor, shenu chayev b'dal dvarim. So perhaps since he has that leniency, he will have this leniency as well in terms of lack of liability when killing a child. Talmud Leimar, that's why we need the pasuk to include the child. Oy vein yigach, oy vas yigach. It teaches us l'chayv l'aktanim kedolim. The animal's chayv whether he killed a katan or a gadol. Now vein leil b'mu'adin. So this pasuk quoted is by a mu'ad. So perhaps, sure, by a mu'ad, we equate the katan to the gadol. But what about a shor tam who killed? Betam minayin. Well, says the Gemara, we can draw a comparison once again to a human being who attacks. V'leidinu Sorry, so now we're going to compare it to something else. The fact is that a shor tam, right, who kills whether an ish or an isha, right, he gets skila. We had this the other day. We equate the ish victim to the isha victim, makes no difference, right? So we'll say like this. Hoyel v'chiyev b'ish v'isha, v'chiyev b'ben abas. We find that a shor tam who attacks an ish or an isha is chayev misa. And we also find v'chayev b'ben abas. We find that, by the muad, right? We just established by the muad, whether the animal killed a ben or a bas or an adult, doesn't matter, right? It's all the same thing. So we find that there are different, liabilities when it comes to a shur that attacks people. He's chayev by the ish v'isha. He's chayev by the ben or bas. So ma k'shachiyev b'ish v'isha. Lo yichilak t'boy, bein tam l'muad. Just like when he's chayev upon killing an ish v'isha, there's no difference between whether the animal was tam or a mu'ud, because we have the lashon ish v'isha by the tam, right? So there we have no difference between a tam or a mu'ud. Af k'shechiv ben avas. Likewise, when the Torah holds him liable for killing even a youngster, like tachal k'boy ben tam l'mu'ud, we shouldn't draw any line between a tam or a mu'ud. Va'oid kavachemu. On top of that, we have a kavachemu to prove the same point that even a shor tam who attacks a ben or bas is chayiv mis. Ma ish v'ish shekein hura koychem ben azok. Because look, we find that an ish v'ish who are victims of the shor, they themselves have sort of a kula. They have a weakness. Hura koychem ben azok, which basically means if they cause damage, if an ish v'ish out of the blue causes damage, breaks a window, they have to pay. They're responsible. So they have that sort of, card against them, right? Still, we have the advantage, but when a shor kills an ish v'isha, he's chayv misa, whether the shor is a tam or a mu'ud. Certainly the youngsters, ben or bas, they have the upper hand when it comes to causing damage, because we know that ben or bas, underage, are not responsible for their actions. They don't have to pay for damages that they do. So they have that, added advantage. Doesn't it lend to reason that once again we won't differentiate between a shor who attacks them if the shor is a tam or a mu'ud? We apply the same halacha to both. So bottom line is, we've now established that if a shor kills a ben or a bas, he's chayiv just like he kills an ish v'isha, and it makes no difference whether the shor is a tam or a mu'ud. Now the question is, Amr's response is like this: v'chidonin kal mechomer lahachmer alav. Ultimately, the reason why we're concluding that the shor tam who kills a ben or bas is chayiv misa is because we find that the shor mu'ud is chayiv for killing a ben or bas. So we say, look, we're not going to differentiate, right? That was the analogy we just worked through, right? We find there's no difference by the ish v'isha, certainly by the ben or bas, just like the shor mu'ud is chayiv for killing a ben or bas. Same thing with the shor tam. Now, ultimately, you're basically drawing from the shor mu'ud to the shor tam. Well, just like a shor mu'ud is chayiv shor tam. How can you do that? V'chidonin kal mechomer. How could you learn a shor tam who should be lighter, less guilty than a chomer, than a mu'ud? V'chidonin kal mechomer lahachmer olav, to add a chomer onto a tam? How do we know that? Im hechmer b'mu'ud hechomer, just because the Torah was machmer by a mu'ud, who's meant to be chomer, tachmer b'tamat kal, who says we're going to apply that to a tam? V'oid. Another point. You're ultimately equating it to an ish v'isha, an adult. In amras v'ish v'isha, there's room to differentiate. An ish v'isha, they're fully responsible for their actions. Shekhayav b'mitzvahs, they do mitzvahs. Toimer ben abbas, as opposed to a young son or daughter, shebtur min ha-mitzvahs. There's no chiyav mitzvahs. So perhaps, that's another reason to be lenient, and not to hold the shor so liable. So, bottom line is, these, analogies don't really work well. That's why we need a pasuk. A pasuk to actually prove. Talmud Leimar, Oy ben yigach, Oy bas yigach. And the question is, why the repetition? You could have just said, Oy ben, Oy bas yigach. Ben yigach, Oy bas yigach. We repeat the word yigach to tell you, well, the shah who kills a youngster is chayiv under all circumstances. Nigicha betam, nigicha bemhud, nigicha lamisa, nigicha lanizak. And we equate the youngsters to the adults, whether it pertains to misa, pertains to nizak and to damages, whether the shahr who attacked is a tam or a mod, he's chayiv just as much. Continues the mission. Shahr shayim is chachich bekoisel. So the shahr was sort of scratching himself against the wall, and due to his, you know, massive size and weight, there goes the wall of enough al adam and toppled over a person and killed him. So, you know, he killed a person, but it wasn't necessarily intentional. Another example of unintentional killing, the shur intended on attacking an animal. Unintentionally, he killed a person. Laknani, varag ben Yisrael, a goy, ended up being a yid, lenafalim, varag ben kayama. It was meant to be a non-viable child victim, ended up being a healthy child. Pater, in all these cases, the shur does not get skila. But what about kayfer payment, the compensation to the victim's family? Amar Shmuel, that you pay. Pater remisa, okay, you don't have misa because it was not miskavin. And Rashi brings the Gemara later, Kimisas ha'balim, kach misas ha'shur, that the skila applied to the animal is similar in fashion to the misa applied to the to a person who kills another person, and that's only if he intentionally did it, but if it was accidental, he's pater. So pater and misa, okay, v'chayi b'kayfer, but the owner has to give kayfer, because as we learned the other day, we have a drasha, it says, im kayfer yusha salav, the extra word im is telling you even, in a case where it was shalei b'kavana, kaifer payment is issued. V'rav Amar, he disagrees. No misa, no kaifer, pater mizeh o mizeh. Now, why would you even consider paying kaifer, which is unique for a mu'ad? Here, it's not a mu'ad, it was unintentional, it was just a one-time accident. V'amai hotamhu. Answers the Gemara, no. This was something that was repetitive. He was doing it over and over. Kedama Rav, as Rav tells us later on in the Afam Ches, this animal was known to sort of, you know, fall onto people in pits. So it's true, it was unintentional. He tried, you know, he was trying to reach in, but this animal had a track record for falling onto people inside pits. Hachanami here as well was speaking, this animal habitually does this. He, you know, scrapes himself against his walls and knocks it over onto the people. Well, Yachav Arkatolu, then he put the shahr to death. Basically, it's intentional. How could you say it's unintentional if he's doing it all the time? Bishlei Mahasim, I can understand in the case of the shahr falling into the burr, that could have been unintentional. The Chazer Yeroikev Anafal, you know, he saw some greenery, something to eat, and he leans in and he falls in and he does it over and over again. He has this habit of, you know, curiously looking into burrs to see if there's any food, and ultimately he falls into the burr. But here, if he's pushing walls over, then that's not accidental. He wasn't just, you know, aggressively knocking walls down. He was itching, so he was scratching himself against the wall, and he does this over and over. It's a habit that he has. How do we know this is going through the shahr's mind? The bus of the nafukam sachabe, because even after the wall collapses, you see he's still, you know, scraping against it. So apparently that was his plan. What about kati tzuras ninu? But there still would not be any kaifer consideration, because the kaifer payment is only by direct damages. Rashi says by negicha, which is gufa, directly from the animal. But here it's tzoras. Tzoras is a term describing indirect damages, like flicking a pebble. So, you know, the wall knocked over is not a direct hit from the shur. Why would you have kaifer payment? Amar mori b'redar v'kana. There is a direct damage here as well. The ka'azl minei minei. He sort of was scraping against the wall, but as the wall was falling, he just kept on falling the wall down. So, in fact, he directly killed a person on the bottom. Now, we have Machlekes Rav Shmuel, in this case where he killed by way of knocking down a wall, unintentional, accidental, but he was a mu'ad for doing so, because he does this all the time. There's no chiv mis on the shur. What about chiv kofer? Shmuel says yes, Rav says no. Tanakh would say to Shmuel, we have tiv to the Rav, we're going to have a brisa in support of Shmuel, and there is kofer payment by unintentional killing, and it's going to be a kasha on Rav, who says there is no payment. We have a brisa which delineates all four categories. Yeish chai v'misa u'b'kayfer. This is a shur who killed a person. At times, The shor is chayiv misa, and the owner has to pay koifer. So a check on both. V'yesh chayiv b'koifer, opavet b'misa. In other cases, there is koifer payment, a check there, but there's no chayiv misa on the shor. V'yesh chayiv b'misa, opavet b'koifer. Sometimes the other way, there's chayiv misa but no koifer. V'yesh patam zeh mizeh, and you have a case where there's an X on both. There's no chayiv misa and no chayiv koifer. Okay, so let's go through all the cases, all the possibilities. Mu'ad b'kavona, chayiv b'misa b'koifer. So let's say the animal was known to kill people, right? And he did it, you know, b'kavona, intentionally killed a person. The animal spat to death, and koifer payment is issued. Mu'ad shalei b'kavona, he was a mu'ad, but he killed unintentionally. Chayiv b'koifer, oh, this is the right to Shmuel, right? So there's no misa, but there's koifer. Chayiv b'koifer, patur b'misa. Then we have tam, a shor is just a shor tam, and he killed a person intentionally, b'kavona. Chayiv b'misa, because when it comes to misa on the shor, it doesn't matter if he's a mu'ad or a tam, if he kills a person, he gets skila, but no koifer, that's only for a mu'ad, a patur b'koifer. Tam shalei b'kavona, finally we have a tam who killed accidentally, patur b'mizeh u'mizeh, there's an X on both, no chayiv misa, no chayiv koifer. So bottom line is we have a raya to Shmuel, that a mu'ad, shalei b'kavona, has no misa, but yes, koifer. And then we have one more point here. What about a shor who caused damage? He inflicted harm. But it was unintentional. We hadn't yet discussed that. Is the shor liable or not? I should say, is the owner have to pay or not? Rabbi Yehuda machayev, Rabbi Shimon put. Rabbi Yehuda says pay, Rabbi Shimon says don't pay. Why? My time with Rabbi Yehuda, who says you pay, yolof mikoifer, because he equates it to the koifer payment upon killing his victim. Ma koifer, shalei b'kavana chayiv, just like by koifer, we've just established that even shalei b'kavana you pay koifer, afan nizakan, nami shalei b'kavana chayiv. Likewise, when it comes to damages, you pay as well. Rabbi Shimon, no, Rabbi Shimon says, sure, we'll equate it, but we'll equate it to the misa of the shor. Yolof miktale the shor. We compare the damage payments to the misa imposed on the shor. Mak tolei shalei b'kavana pato, just like by misa of the shor. If it was shalei b'kavana, the shor doesn't get misa, right? Af nezakan shalei b'kavana pato. Same thing with damages. V'Rabbi Yehuda nami neilof miktali. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda compare it to misa of the shor and learn like Rabbi Shimon? He has a reason for that. Donin tashlumin mitashlumin. He prefers learning payments from payments. So damage payments from kaifer payments and put them on the same track. Vein donin tashlumin misa, as opposed to learning damage payments from misa, which is a totally different realm. Rab Shimon nami neilof mikaifer. Oh, back to Rab Shimon. So why doesn't he learn damage payments from kaifer payments, which is both, you know, which are both monetary payments? Done. The answer is done in chiyuv d'shar mechiyuv d'shar. He prefers learning the chiyuv misa. The chiyuv nizakin that comes on account of the shar's, you know, damaging. So basically, he's compensating for what the shar did. He'd rather learn that mechiyuv d'shar from chiyuv misa, which is also applied to the shar. Lafuki koifer, as opposed to koifer payment, which isn't really connected to the shar. I mean, the shar brought it about. It's just causation, but ultimately the chiyuvah debailamu. Rashi says it's kaparas nafshe. It's a totally different type of arrangement. It's a pidyon. It's a redemption for the owner of the animal. So it's a totally different thing, which Rav Shimon does not want to equate to tashlumi nezek. Rather, he compares it to the misa of the shor. And therefore, just like there, there's no chiyuv misa for unintentional killing. Likewise, chiyuv nezakin as well. So bottom line is, a shor kills a person, whether the shor is a tam or a mu'ad, he's put to death. When it comes to kaifer, that only applies to a shor mu'ad. What about a shor mu'ad that killed shlei b'kavana? There's no misa there, but kaifer, Shmuel says yes, Rav said no. We have a riot to Shmuel from the Braisa. Next question, what about a shor who's mazik, shlei b'kavana? We have machlek, so read an option. Continues the war. Niskavad naragas habeim avarks adam potter. Okay, so the Mishnah says if the animal intended on killing another animal, but mistakenly hit a person, he's potter, because it was not meant for the person. But suppose he was trying to kill one man and he killed another. Tried Reuven and he hit Shimon. In that case, he is chayav, even though it wasn't meant for Shimon. Now that's a big shayla. It's actually a machlekes, because according to Reb Shimon, just like if a person tried to attack Reuven and he attacked Shimon, he'll be putter. We're going to learn from our pasuk soon. Same thing with an animal. So Masnissen look at Rav Shimon. We're not going with Rav Shimon. The Sani Rav Shimon. Imar filu nesgaven la regazev or regazev potter. Even the person intended on killing Reuven, so he intended to kill, but he killed the wrong person. He's potter. Same thing with the animal. My time with Rav Shimon. Why? Why is Rav Shimon exempting him? The Amar Krah, the Pasuk says, sorry, so Rav Shimon here is speaking about the animal. It's going on the animal because it's just like the din of a person. My time with Rav Shimon, the Amar Krah, the Pasuk equates, the Pasuk compares an animal who attacks to a person who attacked. Hashar yisokel v'gam ba'al yumas. So the Pasuk here is sort of connecting the owner of the animal's, you know, liabilities to the animal itself's liabilities. Hashar yisokel v'gam ba'al yumas. So we say kimisa sabalem kach misa hashar. The misa applied to a shur when he kills a person is, you know, sort of follows the same system as if a person attacks somebody else. So the misa applied to a person who attacks and kills another person has the same, you know, they follow the same guidelines. Ma ba'alim atu mechaven le, just like by a person, he's only liable to misa. Bezin only applies misa if he intended on killing this specific victim. Avshar nami atu mechaven le, the same thing with misa to the shur. It's only applicable if he had this victim in mind. Ubalim gufay minolan. Okay, so we say shur is like the owner, but what about the owner himself? How do we know that if he hit the wrong person, he's pot? Minolan. Namakro, the pasuk says, v'arav loy v'kam olav. So he ambushed this person, attacked this person. Achis kavan loy. It had to be intended for him. That's Rav Shimon Shita. So if a person intended on killing Reuven, he killed Shimon, he's potter from misa, and same with the animal. Rabbanon, who disagree, Rabbanon say, if he intended on killing a person, be it this person or the other, and ultimately he did kill somebody, he's chayv misa. So what do they do with the pasuk v'arav loy, which was Rav Shimon's source? Rabbanon hay v'arav loy, my avdili, what do they do with it? What do they apply it to? Amrit v'rab yanai. So the answer is like this. It's coming to exempt something else, prat, as opposed to, in the following case, there will not be misa. Prat lezurek even legoy. So there's a group of people, and this person takes a big stone and he throws it in the direction of the group of people. Okay, without, you know, anybody specific in mind, but he knows ultimately it's going to hit somebody out of the group and kill somebody. In that case, he's potter, because it's lacking in specificity. It's not var of loy. Now, what exactly happened? Who's there? What is this group, you know, comprised of? Who are the members of this group? Hechidam, Ilayim v'deik tisha k'nanim b'echad Yisrael b'neim, 9 goyim and 1 yid. Well, of course he's potter for doing this. Typical lay, the Ruba k'nanim minu. Forget about the pasuk of Arav Lo. You don't need a pasuk. The grand majority, 9 out of 10 are goyim, so throwing into this type of group will not bring any liability. Because his action, his throwing the stone, most likely would have hit a guy, so it cannot be defined as an act of murder against the yid, because there would 9 out of 10, 90% chance it would hit a guy. So he's potter for doing that act. You don't need a pasuk. It's simple. It's obvious you're potter. Inami palgo palgo. And even if it's 5 and 5, safek neflash is lehakel. So there's an uncertainty, 50-50 chance, how to, you know, determine whether to determine his act as an act of Ritzicha on the Yid or not. So once again, we have to go to Kula. You can't kill a person with an uncertainty. So either way, he would be Potter. Without a Pasuk. Ritzicha, so it must be speaking that there is an overwhelming majority of Yidden members of this group. Dika Tisha Yisraelim Bechad Kanani. 9 Yisraelim amongst the group and 1 guy. And the Chiddush is the Afik of the Ruba Yisraelim Ninu. Even though the vast majority, 9 out of 10 are Yisraelim, he's still going to be potter for throwing a stone into this group. Kivan d'ikah echad k'nani v'nayu, since ultimately there's one guy amongst them, havli kavua, and you know he's established there. They're standing together. That's called kavua. B'chol kavua, whenever we have an element which is established in its place, it no longer mixes with the rest. It doesn't sort of get drawn after the majority. It has its own identity. It retains its own independence, and it has to be reckoned with on its own. We treat it like 50-50. Because basically, you know, this stone could have hit a Yisrael or a guy. Now, although you have 9 out of 10 Yisrael, it doesn't matter. The one Kanani amongst them does not get enveloped or bottle or drawn after the Rav. He doesn't become any less significant because he's Kavua. He's an established, you know, a dependent entity. So we treat it like as if there's just two choices, Yisrael or guy. Mechza, mechza, dami. And that's what we say, since there's an uncertainty as to what he had in mind. The throw could have been sort of meant for the yid or for the guy. So the pasuk saying you potter. Now here's not just a simple basic case of safek nefash lahakel. When there were really 5 Yisraelim and 5 Kananim, you don't need a pasuk for that. But here there's 9 Yisraelim, and still we say it's safek nefash lahakel because the Torah here with the words va'arav lo is telling us this idea of kavua. And Rashi says this actually is the makar, the source where we have kavua in throughout Shas. It comes from this pasuk. That when we have a real mix, so we follow the rave. But when it's kavua, meaning each item, or in this case, each person sort of standing on his own, kavua, you know, established in this place, we don't mix them up. They're not all part of the same equation. So each one is sort of an independent entity that has to be reckoned with on his own. And now you're dealing with simply a 50-50 chance. Did I hit the Yisrael? Did I hit the guy? And that's why we go to Kula. Okay, so bottom line is, Niskavel Naharagaze, Varagaze. According to Rav Shimon, a person would be potter, likewise an animal. According to Rabbanan, Chayiv. The Pasuk Va'arav Loi, which according to Rav Shimon taught us the Ptur of Niskavel Naharagaze, Varagaze, according to Rabbanan, is teaching us the idea of Kabua, Kemechza Mechzadami. Okay, one more Mishnah. Shara Isha, a bull that belongs to a woman. Shara Yisim, belongs to orphans who have no administrator. Or let's say they do have an administrator looking after their property. Shara Hamidbar, you have an ownerless bull sitting in the desert. Shara Hegdash, or belonging to Hegdash. Shara Ger Shem Meis Venlu Yoshim, a shara that belongs to a ger that died with any heirs. So basically it's just Hefker. Any one of these bulls attacks and kills, Hare Elu Chayiv Misa, we apply Misa. Rabbi Daim, no. He has to have an owner, as opposed to Shara Hamidbar. Shara Hegdish doesn't have a regular owner. Shara Ger, Shemes Ven Liyosh, all these Abturim and Amisa, why? They're not owned. Says the Brice. Once again, we have this Machlekes. Rabbi requires an owner in order to trigger Misa, and the Rabbanon disagree. Turn Rabbanon. Shur, Shiva. We have 7 mentionings of the word Shur in the Parsha of the Shur attacking. 7 times. It's coming to add all these cases. Lahavi, Shara Isha, Shara Yisim, Shara Petropus. Right, you would think maybe, you know, it says, the pasuk describes the owner as Baal Asher, perhaps in a male form. But if it's owned by an Isha, you're not chayv, no. Shara Isha, Shara Yisim, Shara Petropus, Shara Hamidbar, Shara Hegdashim, Shara Gershim, Mason Yashim. So all these are included. Rabida disagrees, Rabida Aimer, Shara Hamidbar, Shara Hegdash, Shara Gershim, Mason Yashim. Turim and Amisa, Misa is not applied, even if they kill somebody, you know why? Lefi, She'elim, Baal, because they don't have an owner. And the pasuk, relates to the shur as a shur who's owned. It says, "V'huad b'va'alav," that has to be an owner. Says the Gemara, "Amar Rav Huna," here comes a chiddush. Poiter, Hayy Rabbi Yehuda afilo nogach l'pasev higdush. Rabbi Yehuda exempts even a shur who attacks and then was placed in Hegdish's hands. So, despite the fact that during the attack he was owned by an ordinary person. But since ultimately, by the time they got around to dealing with it, he's now owned by Hegdash, who's not considered an ordinary owner, the Shur has no Misa. The same with Hefker. Nogach, he attacked, Ulba Seif Hefker, and then the owner made him Hefker, he's Pater, Memaya. How do I know that Rabbi Yehuda will hold to that? Midigtani Tart. Because take a look at the Mishnah. We seem to find a repetition. 2 examples of the same idea. Rabbi Yehuda is looking to describe a Shur who has no owner. Right? So we have Shur HaMidbar roaming the deserts, with Shur HaGeru Shemes Ven LeYosh, a Geru who owned him, who died, right? Isn't that just another example of Hefker? Like the bull in the desert. Shur HaGeru Shemes Mainu. What's the point of this case? The Kivan De Emu Yershin Havali Shur Hefker. There are no heirs, there are no Yerushim. So it's Hefker, Hainu Shara Midbar. It's exactly what the Shara Midbar is. Hainu Shara HaGer Shemen Meisven LeYerushim. So Midbar and Ger Shemen is all the same thing. Why repeat it? Ela Lava Kamash once. Apparently, Rebita is coming to teach us an additional element as well. Tafilu Nogachal Basayf Higdish. Nogachal Basayf Hefker. Not only a Shara that's Hefker all throughout, from the attack until today, but even a shara which was owned at the time of attack, he belonged to a ger, but then he died and left no yerushim, so now he turned hefker. He was putter as well. Shema mina. So that proves our point. Tani nami hachu. We find the same in a brayso. That what? According to Rabbi Yehuda, the animal has to be owned all throughout the system, from when he attacked until the bezin got involved. Tani nami hachu. Yosher akin. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda added another element. Afilu nogach, and then he was magdish. Ubasayv ignish. Nogach ubasayv ifker. All these cases are potter from Misa Shenemar. Vuad beva'olav. Needs to be an owner around. Vehemes ashed hey Misa v'mod v'din shav ke'echod. From the point of the attack until the bezin got involved, it has to be owned by the same person. It can't be a hefker. But only until bezin gets involved? V'mod v'din? Only until the trial begins? What about the verdict? Doesn't he have to be owned until then as well? Gmar din le beina. You don't need the gmar din to be in a state of ownership. V'ha hashari yisakel gmar dinu. This very pasuk that you just quoted discusses the gmar din as well, the skill that's applied to the shor. Ela ema, rather will revise like this. You're right. It has to be owned from A to Z. Ashen hei misa amada bedin ugmar din shavan ke'echat. It has to be owned from the time that he attacked the misa and throughout the trial until the verdict of bezin was issued. It has to be Shavan Ke Echad. It cannot be a Sher Hefker contributor. Okay, so conclusion. A Sher attacks a person, whether an adult or a child. He gets Misa, whether he's a Tam or he's a Muad. We have Psukim for that. A Sher that kills unintentionally. There's no Misa to the Sher, but according to Shmuel, there's Kefer, and we have a Raya from a Braisa as such. A Sher that intended on killing Reuben, but he killed Shimon. According to Reb Shimon, it's Potter. We have a Pasuk. According to Rabban, it's Chayiv. What about a Sher that has no owner? Or shor belonging to Hegdish. According to the Tanakama, we have, you know, seven times shor, including all these cases. Rabbi disagrees. It has to be owned by an ordinary person, and otherwise, he's exempt from Misa. All the best to you, Psiris Tevis, and Atzlacha Rabbah.